Well, thank you so much for downloading our podcast. This is Manage Your Money God's Way. We are from Compass Catholic Ministries, where we'll show you how to remove all the debt that you've accumulated, no matter how small, no matter how large your debt may be. My name is Steve Holbrook, and in our ministry, we use biblical principles in our Bible study called Navigating Your Finances God's Way. We'll show you how God intends for all of us to be handling money. We'll teach you the importance of saving, investing, how to handle a financial crisis, and of course, how to get out of debt and live a debt-free life. You can learn more by going to CompassCatholic.org. John and Evelyn Bean join me today. They are the co-founders of Compass Catholic Ministries. And today we'd like to start sharing with you a number of money-saving ideas. Now, some you may already be putting into practice, and some you can actually start today. And John, in your experiences, you and Evelyn have worked with people over the last, 30 years on their debt. What would you say is the perception when it comes to saving money?
Some people think that in order to save money, it has to be some huge, gigantic, big amount. And other people think it's just better to save by saving a little bit here and a little bit there. Evelyn, I think we think you got to save both ways, right?
You think we think?
I think so.
Yes, we think it's important to both save the big amounts, like if you get a bonus or a raise, but it's also important to save in the little things where money just leaks through your fingers.
You know, money doesn't buy happiness, but having a steady cash flow and managing it well does offer you some security on an occasion, a nifty new techno gadget.
You know, a lot of people think that they need a lot of money in order to control their money, but little changes here and there can add up quickly. So today we're going to talk about some small ways you can save money instead of wasting it. First category in saving is money itself.
Well, that's a great place to start.
How you handle your money is a way to save.
How about if we have a fast, a fiscal fast?
A fiscal fast. I like that.
A fiscal fast. What that means is try not to spend any money other than your automated bills that have got to go out, but don't spend any discretionary money.
Any money.
Any money at all, okay, for a week. A whole week. Can you do that? Another thing to do would be to stick to your bank's ATM. Now, what do I mean by that? If you're using just any old ATM that you see as your cash machine, then every time you make a transaction that's not your bank's ATM, it's costing you $2 or $3 per transaction. And so you're losing money that way. Now, that's a slippery slope, you know, using your ATM at all, because you're getting cash. And if you're getting cash, you've got to really be careful to keep track of it. Otherwise, it's just going to flitter its way right out of your wallet or your purse, and you won't know what happened to it.
Another way to handle your money well is to make a budget and stick to it. And I think that's what you were talking about, managing your money, John. It's important to pay attention to what you're spending, because a lot of people don't realize just how much they're spending on frivolous things until they sit down and track their cash flow. So it's important to be mindful of what you're spending, but you don't need to be so cheap that you can't enjoy life or you can't give and be generous.
Do you think that's one of the toughest things for people to do is track their spending?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, what percentage of people, I'm just curious on what percentage of people actually do that, or how many actually have a budget that they work off of?
I'd guess 30%. What would you think, John?
I think that probably 30% have a budget, but less than half of those people actually track their spending.
And I think a majority of people, the reason they don't track, because they don't want to know. Those that do track usually are very surprised after, 30, 60 days on where the money is going, and it's not good.
And we've never had anybody start tracking their money when they haven't been tracking previously that hasn't been surprised.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're always surprised, like, wow, I didn't know I was spending that much on whatever.
And they kind of get excited because they see right away, you don't have to tell them, they see right away where the cuts need to be or what they're like really overdoing it.
Yes.
In what categories.
Yep.
Yeah, but I think that budgeting is just something that people give a lot of lip service to, but they really don't want to get involved in it. It makes me think of, we were having a discussion yesterday with a couple, And they were actually talking about their family core values. Not only do they have a budget, which they keep track of, and they track their pennies, but they have a family list of core values that they want to live by. You know, I think that is just so fabulous. And we've been doing this for 30 years, and I think that's the first time I've ever heard anybody say, we have a family list of core values.
But just think what that does for them. I mean, that gives them guidance as far as how they want to raise the kids and what they want to teach them and how to act in certain situations, because you measure it against the core values. Does it meet it or not? So it's a great thing to do.
So we kind of went down a rabbit hole there, but let's get back in here. Another way to keep track of your money and not to spend too much of it is skip the errands. Somebody once told us that every time they go to one of the big box stores, they spend $100.
And your answer to them was?
Well, don't go to the big box store. or at least leave your wallet at home.
Yeah, at those stores, you can always find some. If you look hard enough, there's always something you are going to think you need and want. How about avoiding bank fees? You know, there's so many free services from your bank that you really need to maximize those, especially if you can get an offer like free checking with a certain amount in savings, or avoiding overdraft fees.
Yeah, overdraft fees really add up fast. And, you know, at $35 a pop, that is just a really deadly thing. It's a snare that the banks use to suck money out of your checking account. And it's not because they're bad, the banks are bad. It's because you're not managing your money. Plain and simple. You know, if you don't keep track of your money and know when money is coming out and when you don't have any money in and which checks you've written that haven't been cashed yet, it's bad on you.
And that $35, even if you just do it once a month, which really doesn't sound like that much, but $35 once a month adds up to over $400 in a year. So that's a lot of money to throw away.
And most people, the people that we've seen that are getting bank service charges, overdraft charges, it's $400 a month. It's not $400 a year, because they're doing it multiple times.
Well, the way the bank processes the checks is the biggest one goes in first, so everyone subsequent to that overdrafts it further. So
yes,
the banks maximize the money they're making on you. What about ways to save money on food? Let's talk about ways to save money on food.
You know, the biggest one we find are the people, when you ask them to track their lunch, yeah, those at work, they think they're spending five. Reality, they're spending 12, 15.
Oh, you can't get out of a fast food restaurant anymore for less than 10.
But are there alternatives rather than going out to eat? What would you recommend? Would you recommend just take it from home?
I'd say take it from home, because a lot of people waste leftovers. So leftovers are great to take to the office for lunches, and you don't have to leave work. Of course, sometimes you may want to leave work, but it gives you a much less hectic lifestyle when you can eat lunch at work and just go into the cafeteria or the break room and eat instead of going out and fighting the crowds.
And it's a higher quality of food.
And healthier, right?
Yeah.
What about a meal plan in reverse? I read this and I really like this. So instead of planning your meals and then going to the grocery store, check out the sale catalog, buy what's on sale and plan your meals around that.
No, I mean, that's kind of what you do, isn't it?
Yeah, I always plan the meals around whatever meat's on sale that week.
Yeah.
How about, now this is one we haven't tried, make your own pizza.
By the time I get done making pizza, it costs more than buying it.
Just because of all the things you put on it?
Yeah.
It's probably not as healthy as stuff we might make ourselves. But, I mean, deliver. You can't hardly buy a large pizza for less than $20.
No, that's pretty much a going rate. Yeah.
And then you add the delivery fees and tip on top of that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's a ton of money.
Absolutely. You know, there's an awful lot of people out there that are food snobs.
What do you mean by food snobs?
Well, they're not going to eat leftovers. They won't buy day-old bread. Not only can you use it if you freeze it right away, and then when you're ready to use it, pull it out, it's just as fresh as the day it came out of the oven. So you can do that. You can use it to make croutons or things like that, breadcrumbs. And then you can put it in the freezer. So, you know, that's a good way to do it. Don't be a food snob. Eat the leftovers. Get the day-old bread.
Well, the other part of food snobbery, is that a good word, is prepackaged foods. You know, it's so easy to pick up. I've seen, and I don't buy them, but the little packages of eggs. It's eggs and maybe spices and some bacon that you can just scramble yourself. Well, how much more expensive is that than buying regular eggs in the shell and adding a little bit of bacon to it? But all those convenience foods really add up. So the more you can make on your own, the more money you can save. And I found a site called DIYnatural.com that gives you a whole bunch of recipes for things that are convenience food that you can buy at the store, but you can make at home cheaper.
And I've seen some things lately on Facebook where they're putting eggs into a Ziploc bag.
Yeah.
And mixing some other things in it, some peppers and onions and stuff like that. And they cook it in the microwave in the plastic bag.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so they're not messing up frying pans. It's, you know, you empty up, turn the bag inside out onto your plate, and you got a perfect meal in 45 seconds.
Interesting. We'll have to try that in the morning.
It's kind of hard to make an omelet that way, but if you like scrambled eggs, it works really good.
Just flip the plastic bag over.
Listening to a number of these ideas, you're probably thinking, gee, they sound simple. Well, if they do, why aren't you doing them? Yeah, they do sound simplistic, but they work. My wife and I have been doing a number of these ideas for decades. You don't think short term, think long term, the impact that it's going to have on the amount of money that you're going to save. This is Manage Your Money God's Way. We are from Compass Catholic Ministries, showing you how to reduce and eliminate your debt altogether. You can learn more by going to compasscatholic.org. And today, John and Evelyn are sharing simple money-saving ideas, you know, one that you can put into action today. So, Evelyn, let's get back to that long list that you and John have compiled on saving money.
You know, before the break, we were talking about food, but another way to save money is to drink water, because good old-fashioned water is much healthier and cheaper than ordering drinks at restaurants or guzzling down soda or juice at home. You know, a lot of people these days just buy bottled water and just drink bottled water all the time. But most of that bottled water is from a municipal water source, which is probably every bit as safe as the water from your own tap. Plus, those water bottles are so bad for the environment. So drink water and drink tap water, or buy yourself one of those filter
units.
Pitchers.
Yeah.
Pitchers.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good idea, Evan. What about entertainment? We went to the movies with our grandson couple of weeks ago. It was like
it was a small fortune.
What can we do for like movies and stuff like that makes it not so expensive?
Don't go.
Now the local theater here, which is a national chain, they do I think it's $6.95 Tuesday. No matter what time you go, day, night, it's $6.95.
When do they have quarter movies?
Yeah.
In 1950. We need to talk.
Well, the library has DVDs that you can rent. And, you know, a lot of the good movies are really cute stories, especially the kids' movies. Like, remember E.T.?
E.T.? Yeah. E.T. Go Home? Phone Home? Something?
Yeah. But a lot of those old movies that you enjoyed as kids, I bet your kids would like, too. So you can get those from the library.
You might be able to get them free on the internet.
Good idea. What about magazines and books and even ebooks are all available through the public library? So those are all free sources of entertainment.
How about using cash for entertainment instead of using your credit card?
So that limits your amount that you can spend.
Yes.
You can only spend as much as you have cash.
Yes, yes. You know, there's other ways, you know, things that you can do, entertainment, swimming lessons. Maybe you split the cost of swimming lessons with a neighbor or a friend or something like that. Carpool to soccer games. You know, another thing, so many people are going to soccer games and baseball games and all that kind of stuff. And so what do they do before they go? They stop at a fast food restaurant. Or they get to the ballpark and they're buying hot dogs and hamburgers. And, you know, all that stuff is really expensive. Pack a lunch. you'll save a ton of money.
And take a cooler for the drinks.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, while we're talking about kids' sports, we worked with a couple of years ago, and they had daughters who were in an elite sports team, and the dad volunteered to be an assistant coach. And that way they didn't have to pay the fees for the daughters to play on the team. So that was one way they were able to save money and stay involved with their kids. So that's a great way to cut the cost of entertainment in kids' sports and still spend time with your kids.
Yep.
Are there guidelines when it comes to spending habits? Example, what percent of my income is the max that I should spend on, let's say, entertainment?
I think it's 5, isn't it? 5%?
I think what we use is, as an average, is 5%.
Okay.
But it depends on what you're doing. And, you know, you still can't have more than 100% in your total budget. So rest of your budget equals 95%, then 5% is a good number for entertainment. But if the rest of your budget equals 98%, then your entertainment budget better be 2.
And entertainment is different things to different people.
No, I understand that, but we'll get asked that question. Well, how much should I spend towards entertainment? Because we'd like to do something as a family once a month.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we talk about guidelines and what you just mentioned, too, that if you're overspending, it's got to come from some other area of your budget.
But a lot of times when families are talking about entertainment, they don't think of the free things like geocaching or going to the park and having a family softball game or just swinging on the swings.
To the attractions or to movies.
That's yeah,
what
it's always
see a lot. And
yeah,
it's expensive, yeah. Very expensive.
But they could go to the splash pad and not pay anything.
Right.
What about involving your friends in helping you and them save money? Like in a babysitting co-op. If you babysit for your friends, maybe they will return the favor in the future and babysit for you.
What about bartering?
Oh, I love the idea of bartering.
I like that better than babysitting. Just saying, you know.
Did you want to barter somebody's child?
I've heard of hairdressers that get free dog sitting services because they cut the hair for free of the people who own the dog sitter service. You know, that sounds like a great win for both groups.
It's a barter.
Yeah. Or, you know, if you can sew, you can do sewing for other people. You could edit resumes and in return get some other service. Or, you know, we know of a guy that's really handy mechanically. And so he's all the time putting up fans and things like that for the old ladies in the neighborhood who don't have anybody to put it up anymore. And he can earn a pretty reasonable extra spare income just doing that kind of stuff.
Little old ladies always need help, right?
Absolutely.
What about phones? I think it's pretty unusual anymore for people to have a landline. How many people do you think still have landlines?
Well, that's funny that you asked that question. I was just looking up some statistics before today's show, and it's actually just under 40%, something like 39.6% of individuals still have landlines. I mean, we still have a landline because we found that it was cheaper to have the cable, internet, and the landline. We went to cancel the landline, and the cost of the internet and the cable was actually higher than the three items, so we kept the landline.
But I read something once that said that people used to call a location and now they call a person because of the proliferation of cell phones. So you used to call a house and, you know, maybe the person you wanted was there or not. But now you call the person's cell phone and the person is wherever they are and can talk to you.
Yeah. And we had a meeting with our South American team on Friday. You know, it was really interesting when they go to these Latin American countries to teach money management skills through the parishes down there, they find that there are families that have no money whatsoever, and they have 8 or 10 kids, and you know every single one of those kids has a cell phone, but they have no money for anything else.
It's all priorities.
Yeah.
It's all priorities. What about energy saving around the house? I know we've been doing some things to our house, like additional insulation and replacing the windows to save on our energy bills. But there's also some really simple ways you can save energy in the house.
I think the easiest way to find ways to save energy in your house is to get up at 1 o'clock in the morning and walk around your house without turning on any lights.
And just see everything that's glowing.
And you're going to see all kinds of red lights and blue lights and orange lights and green lights, and figure out what that is and turn it off.
Could I do that at 11?
If you put the darkening shades up, you could probably do it at 6.
Don't tell me you're doing this.
No, but it is amazing when you get up in the middle of the night and there's all this stuff on in the house. Okay, what about thermostats? We just got new thermostats this week because we had to have them replaced. So we keep it low in winter and high in summer.
So what do you keep it? Let's say in the summer, what do you normally keep it?
Well, you're going to die, but we keep it at 80.
Okay, we are 78.
But we have fans, so mm-hmm. if we get hot, we'll run the ceiling fans, and that cools it off a bit. Mm-hmm. We might keep the upstairs. We have one room upstairs that we use for our office, and that may be a little bit cooler. But our downstairs stays pretty cool.
Downstairs stays cool. The upstairs, because it's closer to the roof, and it sits in it's basically sitting in the attic. It's pretty hard to keep cool.
Yeah, the big thing to remember is when you go away for like a vacation is to turn the thermostat, in this case during the summer, up. You don't need to have it at, in our case, 70, 78. We keep it at around 81, 82 because we don't want the humidity building up inside the home.
Yeah.
Actually, with the new our new AC system that we've got, we can turn it up to 85 and it'll keep the humidity at 45 to 55. That's a good thing.
What about prescription drugs? How about saving on generic prescription drugs? That's usually a really high cost item, isn't it?
Drugs can be extremely expensive.
And I think if you get prescriptions that refill for 90 days, not 30 days, that'll be cheaper than a 1 month supply is more expensive than a 3 month supply.
Well, and the other thing on that, Evelyn, is to check out where you're getting your pills. Okay, your prescriptions filled, because I just switched from a preferred provider from my health insurance that gave me 90 days supply of pills, so it's supposed to be cheaper. I shifted to another supplier, local, and I save in like 50 or 60%. Even with generic drugs and all that kind of stuff, you can still save a lot of money if you shop around a little bit.
And the best thing to do when the doctor prescribes, make sure that it's, in this case, tier one, which normally the insurance company will pay 100%, because if they order a different brand that's tier two, you're going to start be paying money. So work with your physician when he writes the prescription to make sure he understands what insurance you have and what prescription matches your prescription plan.
Good idea. I didn't even think about that. So basically, we've given you some tips on money-saving ideas, and you may decide to use some of them or all of them. And we hope that some of them will be of use to you. But if you think of others that you're using that we haven't mentioned, send an email to info@compasscatholic.org, and we'll send those out in our next newsletter.
Saving money is a good way to live by the verse that we find in Proverbs 21:20. Precious treasure remains in the house of the wise, but the fool consumes it.
We really hope that you take advantage of some of these or all of these money-saving ideas to keep your precious hard-earned money. Now, if you'd like to share this show with a friend or family member, it's available, as is all of our programs. Simply go to compasscatholic.org, scroll down on the homepage, and click on the button that says podcast. Also, check out Evelyn's blog on money-saving ideas. She is sharing a lot of the websites that she mentioned, and of course, the ideas that she and John just spoke about. That blog is also available at compasscatholic.org. Just click on the word blog. All right, John and Evelyn, let's see if we can get to a couple of emails that we received this week. And here's one that seems to be in the news at least once a month and has been for the last couple of years. Given the computer hacking that's been going on, do you think it would be wise to limit the use of credit cards and stop doing online banking?
I think that the hacking has made us think twice about how we handle our credit cards, and especially when we use them at department stores. I just read an article from a high-tech company that basically said that this is just the beginning of hackers. They're going to get personal information on millions of people at a time. So we're going to have to have our own security, so to speak, to protect our identities and protect our credit cards and our bank accounts and stuff like that.
You know, I think it's important to sign up, if you can afford it, for one of those online security companies that sends you automatic emails when something happens on your credit report. Mm-hmm. So if you've done it, you at least know you've done it. But if you haven't done it, right, then you get an automatic response.
You get an automatic notice that something has happened. If right. somebody's tapped into to check on your credit, or
for some or applied for credit, or an address changed, or whatever.
And I think it's important to every 4 months to get a full, complete copy of your credit report
from one of the three agencies.
From one of the three agencies, because you can get one a year for free. So if you go every 4 months from a different one, then you can set up a rotation, and every 4 months you'll have a new copy.
Freecreditreport.com.
There you go.
And we do have time for one more. John and Evelyn, I've been tithing, but I don't have enough money to pay my basic needs. So now I'm wrestling with whether I should continue tithing or pay my rent. How do you switch from the world's way of handling money to God's way when you have worldly obligations and commitments? It's interesting.
You know, we get that question a lot. How much do I have to give? And the U.S. bishops wrote a pastoral letter on stewardship that's called Stewardship, a Disciple's Response. And that letter answers the questions. And they basically say, you don't have to give anything. That giving is a response from your heart based on prayer and actively seeking God's will. So if you're struggling with that question, you need to pray about it and seek God's will for what you should do as far as giving goes. But I want to encourage you to at least give something.
If you have a financial question for John and Evelyn, maybe there's something you're struggling with, by all means, send as many questions as you would like to ask@compasscatholic.org. That email address again is ask@compasscatholic.org. For John and Evelyn Bean, I want to thank you so much for downloading this podcast today. And remember, we have a brand new one for you each and every Wednesday morning, bright and early. Simply go to compasscatholic.org. On the homepage, scroll down and click on the button that says Podcast. This is Manage Your Money God's Way. We're from Compass Catholic Ministries.